Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the podcast by BizWin Consulting. We are in continuation with our discussion on the topic of how to build value into your product and service. This is the podcast part two of our discussion. And with me is Aurajit Ganguly, the founder partner of BizWin Consulting. Welcome back again, Aurajit.
Hi, Sushil. Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
All well. Thank you very much, Aurajit. And in the first part, if I may just summarize, we discussed the fundamental definition of what a value is, where you gave us a very intriguing and interesting formula of benefits divided by cost and harm. We discussed a little bit about the product value creation process. It's a seven-step process, which you elaborated on. We looked at who the team members are, early adapters, technical collaborators, and the channel partners who become part of the implementation process of the value creation process. We looked at each of those seven-step process in great detail. And we kind of understood the gain creation and the pain reliever model, which is a very important model, and the value pyramid structure that you elaborated very deeply. And we also looked at the roadmap for thought leadership and ensuring the protection of customer investments as they look for value in the products and services that they buy. The obvious next question that comes up, Aurajit, is that how do we position this value and what is the proposition that BizWin has in positioning the value appropriately and accurately so that it's always meeting the bullseye of the customer's expectation?
Yeah, Sushil, that's a very important question and an interesting one. And positioning has always been a tricky issue for any B2B offering. Mm-hmm. So obviously, we have to treat this with a bit of a kid glove, understand a little more in depth, maybe a little bit in a non-conventional way, and assimilate how we can perhaps take this knowledge and apply it into a B2B offering positioning scenario. So what I would do is, for value positioning, I would break this conversation into two sections. One is the broad positioning, and next is the narrow or competitive value positioning. So in the next few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about what we mean by broad positioning and how we at BizWin typically help our B2B customers in achieving that. Mm-hmm. So in terms of broad positioning, any company which is thinking about taking their product or solution to the market for the first time, or they are revisiting the value position or the value proposition for their target market, which can be new or adapted or an existing market. So they have to go through these steps or this process. First and foremost, in their mind, they must understand this aspect of broad positioning, which is they are claiming that they are solving certain problems or they are fulfilling certain needs. Mm-hmm. That is the crux of the value definition, which we discussed the other day. Now, the question is, this problem solving or this need fulfillment, are they doing it for a large number of customers? Are they, or let me put it in a little different way. There are four aspects of broad positioning which they have to first put their fingers on and identify. This is the broad positioning, or this is the combination of broad positioning which I am going to take for this particular offering, for this particular target market. Now, which are the four options available to them? Option number one, are we solving a few problems or fulfilling a few needs for a large number of customers? So here there are two variables, the number of problems or the needs that we are solving and the number of customers or the segment of the customers for which we are solving it for. So with these two variables, we are creating four situations. So situation one is whether our offering is creating or solving a few problems for a large number of customers. We can take this value position and go to the market. Option number two, are we solving many problems for a small number of customers? This is option number two. Option number three is, are we solving many problems for many customers? Meaning we have an offering which solves multifarious problems for diverse target segments. Are we into this kind of an offering? And option D, are we solving a very few problems for a very few small, narrow customer segment? Meaning, are we a niche player? So there is no right or wrong of choosing any specific option. The most important thing an organization must realize and must understand that the choice has to be relevant to the context. Meaning, for that particular offering, for that particular segment whom they are going to target, what broad positioning option they would choose. The same organization for the same offering may choose different broad positioning option for different target segments. It's possible. But generally, we do not recommend that. We generally recommend you be specific, and for a specific offering, be clear in your mind what should be the broad positioning option out of these four options that we just described.
So I understand that, what you've just elaborated is that it's very, very important to categorize the nature of the problem, and whether it's a large number of customers, large number of problems, or small number of customers, large number of problems. So it's kind of a matrix that you've created, and it's very important to be realistic about that particular identification of the customer base and the nature of problems they're facing. Does this also convert into the kind of solutioning that we apply to each of those categories?
Yeah, see, typically what happens, this is the preliminary step of your broad positioning. So what you are doing is, by selection and elimination, you are creating a space where you would like to play. Once you have identified that space through the preliminary step of this broad positioning, which we just did, next, you come to a little more detailed broad positioning. And here you may choose how to kind of make your product or solutions or service appealing or appealable to your target segment. And there are different ways to do that. And I would define the most common six ways which typically a B2B company generally consider. Number one is attribute-based positioning. Meaning, I'm the best, I'm the fastest, I'm the highest. So this is an attribute-based positioning. Second is category-based positioning. Okay, for this particular category of solution or category of situation, my offering works best. For supply chain solution, my offering works best. So this can be a category positioning or category-based positioning. Next comes user-based positioning, meaning my product or solution is best for designers. My offering or my solution is works best for the shop floor people. So when you sell a solution to a manufacturing segment, there are certain dynamics in handling shop floor. So we can create a solution saying, okay, fine, people who are working on shop floors, this is suitable for them. So, for example, when Nike brought in, they said that their shoes are for athletes. So this is a user-based positioning. Next comes application or usage-based positioning. Means this particular offering is suitable for specific usage. Maybe industrial security can be one of the usage. Or you may say, okay, for manufacturing in kind of a cement plant, this particular offering would be suitable. So this is the fourth, offering positioning. And the fifth one is competition-based positioning, where, you are entering into a market where maybe a few competitors are already there. So you can always do a competition-based marketing, taking the competition's offering as a reference frame, and then creating a narrative which goes on to show that you are superior and differentiated. So that's number five. Number six is benefit-based positioning. This is the most obvious, and it's a no-brainer that the positioning can be based on benefits, that you are saving the cost, or you are improving their profitability. So these are the six benefits. These are the six broad positioning approaches which generally a B2B company can embrace and be successful in the marketplace. Excellent. Everyone's sake, I'll just quickly summarize it. Number one is attribution-based positioning. Number two is category-based positioning. Number three is user-based positioning. Number four, application or usage-based positioning. Number five is competition-based positioning. And number six is benefit-based positioning. And you have to be very clear, and there has to be a trade-off. You cannot choose all of them for every offering for every target segment. So there has to be a trade-off between these six, and you have to choose the right one which is relevant to your context and scenario. And what it does is, if you can do it correctly, you get the best brand value, you get a good market share, and you are able to command a thought leadership in your target market.
Excellent, Arijit. I think that really clarifies the fundamentals of, you know, how a brand is successful, or why a product has the highest market share, or why a particular company's thought leadership is extremely respected. But I have a question. You know, no product or service goes into the market on its own. There is always competition surrounding it. So is there some kind of a strategy, or does the value positioning look at the competitive scenario in which the product or the services they're entering into?
Yeah, certainly, Sushil. So what happens, so far we have discussed the broad positioning aspects. Now, when you are in a competitive scenario, there are two things you must keep in mind. That is, number one, what am I going to win through? So in a competitive scenario, I can win through quality. I can win through my services, which is differentiated from the competitors. I can win through product innovations. I can win through continuous improvement, showing my clients, this is how is my process of continuous improvement. I follow Kaizen, so on and so forth. I can win through adaptability, meaning I am more adaptable and flexible to my customer's need than any of my competitors. So that is can be a winning point for you. I can also win through market share. If in a target segment I have 60-70% market share, that creates the necessary pool for me for the win. And obviously, if you have differentiated in terms of benefits, you can also win through benefits. Last but not the least, you can also win through delighters. What is a delighter? A delighter is typically an offering which is above and beyond the client's expectations. Now, we do, as BizWin, we do not recommend you use delighter so often. Only as a strategic deal enabler, you may use a delighter, because a delighter has an additional cost which you are not factoring in your proposal. And number two, a delighter sets a wrong precedent. So we don't generally recommend that. So you can win through this kind of scenarios. So you have to be very clear. And the other aspect is, when you are presenting yourself in a competitive scenario, you must be clear about your value position. Now, what do we mean by value positioning? Value positioning typically are, say, more for more or more for same, meaning, are we giving more at the same price? That is more for same. More for more is we are giving more benefits at a more price. So similarly, there are six permutation combination, like more for same, more for more for less for less, same for same, and same for less. Same for less means I am giving you the same benefits at a less price. So a value position for a particular offering for a particular target segment has to be very clearly articulated by the seller and must be followed through with necessary actions.
Very good, Arijit. I think I do understand that, you know, BizWin is tackling the value positioning challenge at a broad level and at a competitive level. And the concepts that you just explained gives a lot of insights into how companies succeed in their brand branding, in their market share, and their thought leadership using these frameworks that are there. But the question I had is, does BizWin have any kind of a specific framework to implement this in an organization if an organization is facing value positioning challenges?
See, typically what happens we have seen is organizations do not have that clarity in their mind. For example, if you go and ask a seller, what is your value positioning or desired value positioning? They would say, okay, fine. We would be more or same or more for less. Why? Now, because I would like to give more benefits to the customer at the same price or more benefits to the customer at a less price. That would make my offering attractive to my customers and I can win the deal and build the relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not necessarily correct. Mm-hmm. Thought leaders do not think that way. For the thought leaders, the position is more for more. If I'm giving you more benefits, mm-hmm. I must command a higher price or I must get something higher in return. Mm-hmm. So that acknowledgement, until and unless you are earning from your end customer, you will not be able to graduate into a thought leadership level. Mm-hmm. All these value positions that we discussed can be relevant and correct in a specific context, but again, they have to be judged and decided based exclusively on the situation, the context, and the outcome you are trying to generate, not necessarily based on convenience and shortcut.
Mm-hmm. And how does organization reach their clients? You know, what is the market reach strategy that BizWin can bring in terms of this whole positioning statement that it has created? Is there any recommendation from BizWin that this is the certain methodology of reaching to its customers?
You know what, Sushil? I do not think our listeners are any short of ideas about market outreach. They all know this is the things to be done. If I am a B2B seller, I'm selling a B2B offering to another business, I have an idea what to do. Now, the challenge, what's happening when we go to the market and talk to our clients, we see that the challenge is happening because they are kind of jumbling up all their market outreach activities and the results are not necessarily optimum. Mm-hmm. Now, any seller, any B2B seller in today's market knows that he can reach out to the market through so many ways. They can do campaigns, mail campaigns, they can make calls, they can go to the events, you know, they can do digital marketing, so on and so forth. Now, what we do as BizWin, when we come to an organization and start working with them, we bring in a very strong discipline to ensure that the market outreach initiative is structured in a way so that it gives you the optimum results. Mm-hmm. And how do we do that? Typically, if you break down the different outreach activities which are available to the sellers or the marketers today, broadly, we can categorize it into four categories. Number one, at the center, I would say would be the viral marketing, the reference marketing, or marketing through your personal network. Okay, now just be above that would be the experiential marketing, meaning we are reaching out to the customers through events, we are giving them some trial offer. So the customer is experiencing our offering and then we are advancing the conversation. The third is a dialogue mechanism, meaning we are conducting campaigns, webinars, we are doing surveys. So that's also one mechanism of outreach. And finally, the most common mechanism of outreach today is the digital marketing, the search engine optimization, search engine marketing, advertisement, broadcast. But these are primarily one way of sending out the information. Now, one thing we must understand, now all these outreach activities have benefits and value in its own right. The outcome can be optimized when there is a optimum balance between all these activities. And that is exactly where our expertise comes in when we give the solution or the recommendation to the client. For example, we described four categories broadly, you know, the personal or the referential outreach, then experiential outreach, dialogue outreach through surveys, campaigns, and the one-way approach. Mm-hmm. That is broadcast, SEO, SEM, so on and so forth. We must understand, as we describe them from reference marketing or reference outreach to the one-way outreach of SEO, SEM, the reach expands, meaning we can only reach a very few customers or prospects when we are doing reference marketing or reference outreach. So through experiential outreach, we can reach a few more customers or prospects. Through dialogue outreach, which can reach even bigger prospect segment. And through one-way outreach, which can reach the maximum target segments. However, there is a caveat. The outreach expands as we move from reference outreach to one-way outreach, but the conversion drop, meaning if you're getting a lead through one-way outreach, meaning your SEO or maybe through your advertisement or broadcast, the conversion percentage of that lead will be generally lower than a conversion percentage of a lead that you have generated through a customer reference.
Understand.
So that is how it is. These are the dynamics which needs to be balanced to get the optimum results.
Mm-hmm. And all this is a part of the value conversation framework that you had elaborated earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. So the value of conversation framework needs to be ingrained when we are embarking on our outreach activities. Once we have defined our value positioning, then only we can initiate the outreach activities.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. In fact, that's a very comprehensive explanation of, you know, how companies can benefit from BizWin and improve their value of their products and services. But every company is in different stages, and you know, some companies want their value expansion to happen. They may have already aligned themselves to the value of the customer that he's looking for. But is there any help that BizWin can provide if a company approaches them for value expansion?
Yes, typically what we do is we tell them that there are two ways you can embark on expansion. Number one is value connection, mm-hmm. meaning you know, you can go ahead and explore with your client how you can together create or improve the existing or adapted offering or create a new offering. Mm-hmm. That is a value connection approach. Okay. And we have a mechanism for that. For the interest of time, I'm not going into that. Mm-hmm. So for value expansion, the first approach which we suggest is value connection for B2B companies. The second approach is value co-creation, meaning, hey, company, you talk to your end customers and work collaboratively with your client as a team, mm-hmm. construct new ways of building and delivering value to the ultimate end customer. Mm-hmm. So that can also be a value expansion pathway. And these are the two paths or two ways which we suggest a company or a B2B offering company can adopt value expansion.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Arijit. I think you have given a lot of insight into the way BizWin looks at value of product and services, and the various concepts that you shared with us was very, very interesting. What I could understand is not only do you understand the concept of value at a very fundamental level of its definition, but how that whole concept is extrapolated to the products and services of business in a B2B scenario in terms of products and services. But what I could also see is that BizWin has the framework and tools of implementing these concepts and to make a change into an organization where they can align their products and services to the customer value that he's looking at, he or she is looking at. I could gain a lot of insights into these thoughts that you shared with us. Quickly, if you can share, what else does BizWin do? What are the areas that it focuses on? And what does it bring to the table for the benefit of growing B2B businesses of customers?
Well, Sushil, again, this is a topic which is very close to my heart. And I can go on for hours if you give me the time. But I know we don't have that much of a time. In the next few minutes, let me summarize what BizWin does. BizWin is a specialized sales management consulting firm for B2B companies. So right from demand generation to sales closure, we handhold the management and the sales and marketing team so that they can set an aggressive sales target and achieve it in a defined time frame. Mm-hmm. And in the process, we bring in our own methodology, tools, techniques, workshops that we customize and deliver it for our clients. So this is what we do. Incidentally, we are one of the very few companies in the world which covers strategic, tactical, and administrative aspects of sales and marketing under one roof. There are very few consulting companies in the world who can do it. Mm-hmm. And you obviously know the kind of expertise that we bring to the table. It's a team of 8 people, each of us having experience ranging between 25 to 40 years, mm-hmm. having held leadership roles in small, mid-size, and Fortune 500 companies across the world. So when companies come to us, they know they are coming to experts. They have a lot of expectations. And thankfully, on every occasion, we have been able to live up to their expectation and deliver the desired results.
Excellent, Arijit. I think thank you for this insight, and really enjoyed this conversation. I look forward to having many more such conversations on interesting topics that will help business to business clients of ours to, you know, grow value, and various topics that are going to be there in these podcasts. Thank you again for this. This ends our podcast on value creation of products and services, and I look forward to connecting with you on various other topics going forward. Thank you for your time, Arijit.
Wonderful, Sushil. Thanks a lot. You have a good day ahead.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.